and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If we will open your Bibles to John, the 18th chapter. In John, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 15, we'll read, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of the man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Skip down to verse 25, please. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." Over the years, if you have been in the church very long, you have seen members come and members go, and it's nothing that we are proud of, and it's something that, as a matter of fact, we're very sad that happens. But there's some members that when they go, we can't help but to say within ourselves, you know, I was almost afraid that would happen. You see, just by the very life that a person lives, we say, well, you know, I continue to try to get them to come to Bible classes, and they continue to give excuses. They just said there was no need for it. It just took up too much of their time. I try to get them to come back and worship Sunday night, and they said, you know, it's just asking too much. I was out Sunday morning, and I have things I have to do Sunday night. And we see people that every time something is tried to put into a forward motion, they're the ones that say, wait a minute, I don't like the way that's happening. And it's those people that when they fall away, we're sad. We're commanded in Galatians to go and to try to bring them back, to restore them. But the fact remains, we're not surprised. It's almost as if we saw it coming. We've tried to prevent it, but it happens. But brethren, how do you feel when you see someone who is strong? Someone that you look up to. Someone that maybe has taught you in Bible class for years and years. Someone who's been that leader for you spiritually. Maybe it's a deacon, maybe it's an elder, maybe it's the ladies Bible school teacher, maybe it's the preacher. No matter who it is, it's someone that you look at as a strong person. And they fall spiritually. You find out that they've fallen out of the faith. You find out that they're worshiping in some denomination somewhere. And it hurts. And you're in shock. And you ask all kinds of questions. And for weeks, you can't get it out of your mind. This morning, let's look at a strong man. One that when Jesus chose 12 to help lead the world to Him once He went back into heaven, He's one of those 12. And as a matter of fact, many times He is the leader of those 12. The one who has done so much work for the Lord. The one who was with Jesus almost every step of the way, and he was so devoted to Jesus that at times it seemed like Peter could just not be close enough to Jesus. He had to try to do more and do more because he wanted to be closer and closer. And it's Peter who is so devout and so faithful that fell so hard. This morning, let's look at Peter's life. And this morning, I'm speaking to those of you that are strong. Those of you that have been in the church for years and years. Those of you that have taught Bible classes Sunday and Wednesday after Sunday and Wednesday. Those of you that maybe can sit in this very room right now and say, well, I help teach so-and-so and I help teach this person and I love the Lord. That's who I'm speaking to this morning. Those faithful, strong members of the church. It's possible for anyone to fall. Peter gave us that example. But I think we can learn three very powerful things from Peter about his fall. I think the beginning of his fall goes back to the 13th chapter where he stood so sure of himself. Lord, where are you going? Lord, why can't I go with you? Lord, you know that the reason you're not taking me is because you think I would drag you down or I would let you down. Because, Lord, as the truth would have it, I'd stand up with you to the very end, even if it meant my death. I would stand for you, Lord. And it's with that overconfidence, it's with that almost air of arrogance that Peter proclaimed something that he would remember just a few hours later. And it would cause him to weep bitterly. Jesus tries to correct that arrogance. He says, Peter, you'll go to your death for me? No. He says, as a matter of fact, you'll deny me three times before morning comes. Isn't it amazing how arrogance can pull down even the strongest people? You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, and it doesn't matter how many classes you've taught and how many times you've read through the entire Bible, and it doesn't even matter how much time you spend in study and prayer. The fact is, if you are arrogant, you'll fall. There's no two ways about it. 1 Corinthians tells us that the one that thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Here we have Peter thinking that he stands so strong, and Jesus says, take heed, Peter, you're going to fall. Think back with me as we look through Matthew. Matthew records many things. We can look in the 14th chapter. And in Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 27, we see that's where Jesus walks up to the disciples where they're on their boat there. And they're very afraid. They see something coming across the water. He says, fear not, it's me. And Peter has to be almost the arrogant one. Well, Lord, if that's really you, let me step out on this water and walk to you if it's really you. And so he steps out and he takes a few steps, and the verse says he sees the boisterous winds, perhaps the waves are high, and he loses his faith. He begins to sink and he cries out for Jesus to save him. Jesus stretches forth his hand and he says, oh, ye of little faith. But Peter didn't learn from his mistake. We look also to the 16th chapter, and we see there that Jesus is proclaiming. He's saying that I must go into Jerusalem and I must let the men persecute me. And he tells the things that he must go through, and he says even to death, and he says I'll raise on the third day. And Peter takes Jesus and says, don't talk about those things. We're not going to let these things happen. And Jesus says, oh Satan, get behind me. You speak of man, not from God. You see his arrogance again. Got him in trouble. Jesus corrected him, and he still has not learned. We see just in the following chapter, in chapter 17, he goes there on the mountain, and Jesus shows him Moses and Elijah and himself. It's the transfiguration. And what does poor old Peter say? Lord, let us build a tabernacle for each one of these upon this mountain. We'll build three tabernacles. And Lord God Himself speaks down and says, you follow my son. Poor Peter still hasn't learned. He's so quick to think he knows what is best. He's so quick to be the one to be overconfident. He's so quick to be the one who is corrected over and over and over. Today, let me learn from Peter that if I am overconfident, I will fall. You see, I need to have a faith that says I'm centered on Jesus, and I want to know what He can do through me. Notice that. A faith that is centered on Jesus, and I want to know what Jesus can do through me, instead of the faith of us. I have a faith in me. And I want to know what I can do for God. That's a dangerous faith to have. Let's realize that our faith should be centered around Jesus. Let's take the emphasis off of self and realize that we truly are living for Jesus. Perhaps the turning point in his faith was when he was in the garden. And Jesus warned them that they should be praying, watching and praying, Jesus went further into the garden and He prepared Himself for the temptation that was about to come, but yet Peter was not prepared. And when the time came, He decided to fight in Peter's way of fighting. And He slices off Malchus's ear. And Jesus says, "Put away your sword. The one that lives by the sword will die by the sword." You see, it's in that time that Peter is willing to fight for the Lord. Peter's willing, it appears, to give his very life. Here is an army that is, they have their weapons. They're armed. And Peter is ready to fight on his own. But now let's notice something. When Jesus tells the way He wants Peter to stand, Peter's not ready to fight then. He says, "I don't want you to fight by the sword." So Peter, within a few hours, denies Him. Brethren, this morning, how are you ready to stand for Jesus? Are you ready to stand in your arrogance, thinking that as long as I can stand up for Jesus the way I want to stand for Jesus, I'll stand strong to the end? I'll go to my death for Jesus as long as I can set the rules. But when the Lord gives us rules that's a little bit different than what we want to hear, are we then willing to stand up to that same end? Arrogance will cause us to always believe that our rules are the best, and that the way we fight is the best, and our thoughts and our ways of reaching people are the best. And it will often lead to even thinking that our ways are above God's ways. Let us all be careful that we never fall in to thinking too highly of self. The second thing I think we can learn from Peter here is in Matthew, this same account here. They have just arrested Peter, or they've just arrested Jesus. Jesus and John go into the high place. And Matthew 26 says that Peter followed afar off. You see, Peter allowed distance to come between him and Jesus. You say, "Well, you know, you're talking about physically there. And today, none of us can come close to Jesus physically because He's in heaven and we're on earth. So what does that have to do with anything?" Well, let's notice his reasoning for allowing that physical distance to come between them. What do you do today whenever you see a siren or you hear a siren and you see the blue lights? You look, don't you? Well, what's happening? And if you see someone in handcuffs, you look all the more. You want to take in everything you can see. Don't you think that that's pretty much what happened here? As that band of soldiers marched out of town, and then a few minutes later they marched back into town and they have Jesus bound there. Don't you know that every eye was watching? Well, who did they go and arrest this time? Who's coming up in the courts tomorrow? We'll have to all gather in tomorrow and see. Well, you see, from reading, we see that John was faithful enough that he stayed close. So when people would look over, they could look over and they could say, well, there's Jesus. And there's one of His disciples, because he was following right along with Him. But you see, when they had already passed and when the excitement had died down, that's when Peter came along. He followed Jesus, but he was so much later that no one even knew that he was a follower. They just thought that he was a bypasser, someone just passing by. Brethren, this morning, you and I can allow distance to become a very real problem in our relationship with Jesus. Anytime I allow distance into my relationship, it's because I have chosen to be separated from Jesus. Now notice, Peter had probably good intentions because he did follow. You see, Peter could have said to himself, "Well, you know, I really need to stay and I need to pray in this garden now." And perhaps he would have been better off. But he felt the need to follow Jesus. But at the same time, he felt the temptation to follow far enough back to relieve himself of any physical danger. Today, there's times when even the strong, even the faithful members in the church, they want to walk toward Jesus. but we're tempted to lay back just a little bit. It's not that I'm going to deny Jesus. It's just that during this particular conversation, I want to lay back. Well, while I'm at this particular place, let me just lay back a little bit. It's not that I'm going to go out and I'm going to commit some sin. I just, in this particular group of people, I don't want to be that close to Jesus. Give me just a little bit of space. Brethren, when we take our friends in this building and we take the way we act, the way we speak, and we leave this building and we go among other friends and we act and we speak in a different way, we have created distance in our relationship. Let us all be sure that we're close to Jesus at all times. Let none of us be separated from Jesus in conversation. You know, perhaps one of the most dangerous ways to separate ourselves from Jesus is by silence. There's many times when in our very presence, Jesus is being attacked. And we sit there. And it's almost as if we're as Peter. We're just warming ourselves around the fire while they attack our Savior. And while they ridicule Him, and while they mock Him, and while they turn His doctrine around, and we sit there. We want the distance to be there. Not that we're going to participate in this conversation, but we surely don't want to get involved. So just let me draw back for this particular time. Brethren, let us all note this morning, distance is on our way to failure. We're getting a step by step closer every time we pull away. And before long, we'll be as Peter. And we'll find ourselves completely fallen. And we're going to shock our friends that thought we were so steadfast. And we're even going to shock ourselves because we thought that would never happen to me. Let none of us separate ourselves from Jesus Christ. Arrogance. Distance. And the third thing I suggest to you this morning is that poor old Peter warmed by the wrong fire. Notice now, as we mentioned before, if Peter would have just stayed in the garden, if he would have just stayed there and prayed, poor old Peter would have been better off. But he had to go, and he had to be too ashamed and too afraid to go close to Jesus. So he stayed on the outside. Well, when he stayed on the outside, it was cold out there. And he had to warm himself. And the only fire he found close and convenient to warm by was the same fire that was warming the enemies that had just captured Jesus. The longer he warmed himself, now notice this please, the more concerned he was with their thoughts about him than he was about Jesus' thoughts about him. And as he warmed there, it seems that the second time he denied was there at the fire. And it seems as if, again, it was not any great denial in the sense that they were not about to stone him or they were not about to stab him with a sword. It seems almost as if it was just small talk when they said, "Are you one of his followers?" "No, no, I am not." He denies. Now that's the second time. You notice something here? Once we start, it's always easier to continue. Once we begin a lie, it's so much easier just to keep lying rather than go back and say, "Listen, I shouldn't have ever lied to you to begin with." And then what happens? As he warms around that fire, one of the gentlemen looks over, and this could either have been a father of Malchus, the one that his ear was cut off. It could have been his son. It could have been his uncle, his nephew, his first cousin. It was some kind of kinsman. And he looks over and he says, "Aren't you the one that cut off my nephew's ear? Aren't you the one that cut off my kinsman's ear?" And Peter now realizes that it's time he really proves to these people that he's not a follower. And so he begins to curse and to swear and to say that I am not a follower of Jesus Christ. And you know what? They believe Him. The same is true today. You want to convince someone you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, begin cursing and swearing. They'll believe you quickly because a Christian should be able to control his tongue. There as he warms around that fire, he denies his Lord for the third time. And it's then that the rooster crows. And it's that very moment that Luke, the 22nd chapter, that has this same story told, is a verse that it really gives me cold chills every time I read it. If you can imagine Peter for the third time denying. Perhaps he thought, well, I'm not in the presence of Jesus. He'll never know I denied Him. I'm just protecting my own well-being. He knows that I really love Him. He knows that I gave my life to serve Him, that I give up my career. And He knows that I'll come back to Him, but just let me protect myself now. I don't know what was going through Peter's mind, but I do know that he denied three times, and the third time was with cursing and swearing. And the rooster crowed. And Luke 22 says, and that the Lord looked over and saw him. It says that Peter saw the Lord looking at him. Brethren, can you imagine? Can you imagine that very moment you denied Him for the third time? And at this time, they're changing Him from one room to another, and Jesus is able to see Peter out there warming His hands with the enemy. And Jesus hears the rooster crowing. And Jesus knows that it just happened. Brethren, Peter wept bitterly. Peter was so sorry. Peter, the strong, faithful man, went out and wept like a baby. Praise God, he changed his life. Even though he was faithful and he fell, he was faithful to come back. And it was Peter just a few days later that preached the first great and powerful gospel sermon. It's Peter that went on to do great and marvelous works. Brethren, today there may be someone here today that's been holding a sin in your life for so long because you think that you're just too strong. You're too faithful, and if you come forward, people just won't believe that you've sinned. Brethren, I believe it. Anybody here, I believe you sin. And if we all would just sober up to the truth of God's Word, we're all going to know that we all sin. Let none of us, because of arrogance, hold a sin in our life. Because there's coming a day when every one of us will stand and we will look Jesus in the eye. And it's that day, if we're holding that sin, we will go out and we will weep bitterly, but it'll be too late for forgiveness and for repentance. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Ask yourself a simple question. Do I have sin active in my life? Or do I have a sin that I've never asked forgiveness of? This morning, think about that judgment day when you'll have to look Jesus in the eye. Prepare for it and face it as a faithful follower and hear the words, "Well done." This morning, if you're not a child of God, you hear and you believe. You're willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you want forgiveness of those sins, be baptized to wash those sins away. Whatever your spiritual condition is, if it's not in a close relationship with God, do not let arrogance, do not let distance, and do not let because you're warming by the wrong fires keep you from obeying God.